This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive, activist.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia and this is Broad on Joy 94.9, and it is Sad Girls Club time, or Sad Girls Festival, in Melbourne. It's here, virtually happening very soon, October the 1st, at the Reverence in Melbourne. So for the Reverence Hotel and for all those people in West Melbourne, I think it's going to be one heck of a weekend with everything going on. And I have here in the studio to talk to us, I've got the manager, the person who has pulled this all together and has brought themselves all the way from Sydney town to Melbourne, where the lights do stay on. I've got in the studio, I have Rachel Maria Cox. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, yes, Rachel, RMC, here we are, Melbourne. How is it going, getting ready for the festival?
It's good. It's very exciting. It's been a big couple of days, a lot of to-do lists and a lot of, like, finalising everything in the lead-up for Saturday. But I'm very, very excited. It's finally starting to hit me that it's all very real and very soon, which is exciting.
Great.
Yeah. And I'm just looking forward to such a really good day as well.
Yes, it's just a day. And certainly, you know, I like the fact that it starts at 2 p.m. personally. I think that gives us a bit of time because, like I said, it's the AFL we've got to worry about. The big day is coming.
Well,
I
didn't realize that was happening. And then a friend of mine sent me a text message last weekend saying, just so that you're aware, the West Melbourne AFL team is in a grand final and has not been in a grand final for like a couple of decades, have not won a premiership in a couple of decades. If they win, just be warned that Footscray is going to be a pretty hectic place to be.
Yeah, I hope they've got some sort of like free transport or something.
I hope so.
To shuttle people around because it will probably go off, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, be mindful of that. But,
it's been great. I've been walking around Footscray, and everywhere has got up stuff like to support the Bulldogs and stuff like that. And a lot of them would just say like "Go Doggies" or "Go Dogs" or stuff like
go
that.
Go Dogs. That's
and it's
right.
Like if you had no context to this, you'd just think that Footscray was a place that really liked pups, like puppies. It's just. They're just all dogs fans.
Yes. And the next thing I would do would be I'd be looking on the ground looking for the dog shit, quite frankly. If they love dogs that much, I'd be worried. That would be, you know, a bit of a transport issue. But Sad Girls is tremendous. Now, is this the first time in Melbourne?
It's the first time that the festival has come to Melbourne. So this only started last year. And last year what we did was a slightly different sort of model where we did a small tour. And then a festival in Sydney at the end of that. And so the tour did two shows in Melbourne, one of which was at the Rev and one of which was at the Old Bar. That took off really well. And like Melbourne has got this really, really great community and a very supportive community for it with organisations like Listen and Girls Rock Melbourne and communities like that, which get a lot of support down here. So it kind of just made sense when it came to thinking about what we were going to do for 2016 that if we were doing the festival again, we should do it in Melbourne as well. And one of the things about that is that it's really important for me to emphasise a lot of local talent. So pretty much the entire lineup, with a couple of exceptions, are all local Melbourne artists who all play around town. So if you got tickets and you see someone and you like them, you can go and see them like next weekend or the weekend after as well and like... I think that's a really healthy way to like build support for women and trans people in the music industry, especially.
Yeah, no, it jumps out with the lineup that you do have. And yes, there's nothing quite like this in Melbourne until now. So, and so many bands. I was talking to High Tech Emotion yesterday, and they were saying that there are so many bands, female identifying, non-binary, trans bands. It's great.
Like, this is one of the things that I will say to people a lot is, after I book this, I've got so many other bands that, like, if I had room for it, I would love to put so many other bands on this lineup as well. Yeah. And that just says to me, like, the overall trend in Australian music festivals is that they're, like, almost always, like, predominantly male. Like, even the best ones will have, like, 20% of acts might have at least one non-male member in them. And to me, that just baffles me that that is still something that can happen when there are so... I've got so many bands coming to me and saying, we would love to place our Girls Fest if you've got room. Like, I've got more bands than I have room for on this lineup.
That's just...
And yet, there's not... So I think that's why I want to keep doing something like SAG Girls, is to create space and opportunity for these bands to play at a festival like this and maybe get some attention and then hopefully, like, move on to bigger and better things and, like, some different festivals as well. Like, Camp Cope playing Laneway Festival next year, which is going to be amazing. Like, Alex Leahy obviously playing at Splendor in the Grass, and, like, South by Southwest next year, and things That's like amazing. That to hopefully get more female bands to that level, ideally. And to do that, you've got to have somewhere to start.
Yeah, you have to just to get that experience. The networking is also a tremendous part of it, and meeting people. And, yeah, you just don't know what it's going to lead to. I mean, you're right, Splendor in the Grass, you look at all these Laneway and you go, it's mainly male-dominated. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense when you see that you have just a massive, like you've said, you've had to turn people down, just awful. I'd hate doing that.
It's not my favorite part of the job. It really
isn't.
Because
it's not about them. It's just there's no space or time.
If I had more time, I would totally do it. But that's the thing, is I have this network of people, and people approach me all the time as well, like people who book venues and people who are in bands who want to know, like, a lot of people, like friends of mine from Sydney and Newcastle, who are like, oh, we're touring in Melbourne, who should we play with? And I have this very extensive list now of, like, female-fronted and, like, gender-diverse bands stand to them now.
So do you say, like, every city now in Australia, you would have that network?
Some Maybe? Better than others.
Yeah.
I'm, like... obviously always looking to hear from bands, and, like, I've always got my ear to the ground for, like, looking for new bands and stuff like that, because my plan is hopefully to expand this city by city and eventually have it to be something that's Australia-wide. But I would like to, build that up and build that network up. And I do that in part by having people come and contact me.
Incredible. Tasmania?
Tassies.
They're awesome, because they do have some of their own really quirky, unique festivals down there that not many people, I mean, everyone in Tasmania knows about them, but they're not, it's still hard to get to. I guess like Perth, you know, it's so far away and people get put off by that. But they've got, it makes it really interesting because they have their own sort of like petri dish, which is unique, you know, their creatives and musicians and artists.
I think by virtue of being, like, I have a couple of friends who are in bands from Perth and from Tassie as well, and I think by virtue of it being them being like relatively small communities compared to Melbourne or Sydney, and also by being quite isolated, what happens is, like, the whole music community sort of mixes up a lot more than they do, say, especially in somewhere like Sydney, because it's not big enough to sustain, like, a heavy rock scene and a EDM scene, and, like, it's not really big enough to sustain self-contained music communities by genre, so everyone mixes and it creates this sort of really healthy, diverse scene, I reckon.
I haven't thought of it like that. Now, speaking about, because we haven't talked about the name, of course, of the festival and the club and where it comes from, Sad Girls. And I had someone say, oh, and I went, oh, like that when I said Sad Girls, and they go, oh. So what is it about?
So SAG Girls is a term that's used for, it originates in in like Hispanic culture, and it's about like basically it's about owning your emotion. Like there's Sad Girls You Care, which is the Hispanic one, and then like there is in the United States another theorist called Audrey Wallen who came up with Sad Girls Theory. And so those are both about owning your emotions as someone who is female or feminine presenting or female identifying in some way. And that's, yeah, about owning your emotions, be that sadness, be that anger, you know, like, because often you see a lot of stereotypes of like emotional women in popular culture and about, you know, like women being hysterical, like crazy ex-girlfriends, that sort of thing, like the angry feminist stereotype.
I get the angry, you're the angry black woman. I get that and I go, it makes me mad, which doesn't help.
Yeah.
But fuck them, quite frankly. Sorry.
You know, like you're allowed to be angry and that's the thing, like that's the whole idea of that is owning that and saying that it's okay for me to have this and express this through music or art or through whatever. And, you know, that's not, that doesn't make me weak and it doesn't make me one dimensional because, you know, like any other person, we're capable of feeling a whole bunch of things. And so for me, like, that's one of the things that resonated with me with Sad Girls is like, you shouldn't discredit the music that these women are making because it's, you know, because it's sad or because it's angry, because there's so much more than that and our emotions don't necessarily have to define us.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's just really interesting and it makes sense, you know, so I'm sure that people should just try the music out. Now, for the website, if people do want to hear some of the diversity and some of the range that you do have, is there a... because I clearly haven't researched that part. Is there a sort of a hub or part where people can listen to samples?
So we're also a DIY record label, so I put out a couple of releases. But there's also like a Spotify playlist if you search for Sad Girls Fest on Spotify. Yep. There's a Spotify playlist. We've got a SoundCloud where I like reshare a lot of the music from the artists.
That's cool.
On SoundCloud.
Did you hear the news about SoundCloud? Well, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but today I saw something posted that Spotify are in talks of purchasing it, whatever that might mean.
Okay. Not up to date with these things. I've been in my little Sad Girls bubble.
I bet. I'm just hoping that it still say, you know, it doesn't change the accessibility and that's all I'm, you know, would be worried, I guess.
Yeah. So there's those sorts of things on YouTube as well. We've got videos from some of the artists and stuff like that. And if you go onto the Sad Girls Fest website, you can find like links to every artist who's playing all their music.
Which is great. Up online as really well. Really helpful. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. People like me, it's really useful. Yeah. How many bands are actually playing? You've got some acoustic as well, which makes it a little bit different, including yourself.
Yeah. So we've got the two stages and I think... off the top of my head, I think it's about 23 artists who are playing in Melbourne and then another like 24 or 25 in Sydney, which makes us the largest event in Australia, which has every single artist is female or gender diverse.
Wow.
Because it's a lot of musicians to be working with. And I think off the top of my head, it's about 23. So we've got like the two band rooms at the Rev. And then out in the beer garden, we've got a little acoustic stage at the start of the day as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, looking forward to it. Let's hope the weather for the outside stage is probably covered, is it? I haven't been there.
I hope the weather is good. I got in yesterday morning and it was really beautiful and sunny. And I'm like, this seems like a trick.
It's Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's probably going to rain in an hour or so.
Yeah.
Or less, or then suddenly stop. Yeah. No, well, fantastic. Now, I know that this is clearly a passion thing for you.
Mm.
Clearly. This is big, like just where you are at the moment. Mm. I mean, what drives you to do your work?
Just knowing that I think when I first started out, like, there were so many times, and even to this day, like there are so many times where I'm playing shows and I am the only non-male person on a bill. And it,
that's weird.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, especially now, the longer that this goes on and the more bands who get in contact with me and, like, the more people that I meet through this, the more it bothers me when I am the only one or when I see a lineup that is entirely all male and things like that. And I just, the numbers are there and the numbers make it necessary. But also I think it's really important, like, the conversation is starting now around, like, safety at gigs and being inclusive and being safe at gigs as well. And I think that's something that's really important. This is just, yeah, it's a passion, a thing that I'm passionate about and something that I think is really necessary in Australia, like, with our music community. And that's what keeps me going. That's because it's a big undertaking. And pretty much every day I go, oh, why have I done this? Why did I take on so much? But I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all.
It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. Yeah. It has to be done. I mean, I'm surprised. Maybe, like, film in Australia, Screen Australia, have the Gender Matters thing, which is basically they're putting their foot down and saying it has to be 50-50 by a certain period of time. I think they've stopped. We need something like that too in the music industry of Australia.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to someone the other day about, like, quotas and things like that and whether or not that's a way forward. And I think at the end of the day, like, if we don't set ourselves these sorts of goals, even, like, at a personal level, like, if you are in a band and you set yourself a goal where it's like, our band will only play shows where there is at least, like, at least 50% of the bands on the bill have a non-male member. Like, I've got friends who are in a band that are, like, it's a four-piece and they're all guys, but they have made that pact as a band, like, they've only just started out, but they've made that pact as a band that they will not play any shows where there is not, like, they won't book shows for this band where there aren't, like, 50% of the bands have women in them. And I think that's great. Like,
that's
setting
amazing.
Those personal sorts of goals because you understand that it's important.
Yeah. And to support those people that stand out and do that, stand up and do that. It's, yeah, it's really important because it's also bread and butter for them in many ways.
Yeah.
So
and if you don't set those goals, then nothing gets changed. And that's how we end up where we are now with, like, really, really low stats for female representation in a lot of areas of the arts.
True. Yeah, so I think it's some people argue that it's not, like, affirmative action. It's not, you know, it doesn't work. But they're usually the people that are saying that because they've had the privilege. So
yeah,
we have to be mindful of that and privilege and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think it might be time. Should we have you do a track? I'd love you to do one of your songs.
Absolutely.
We might just have to readjust that microphone if you get comfortable.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, is it comfy?
Yep.
Cool. All right. We're ready. Oh, actually, yeah. Can you intro the track?
So this song is the single off my EP, I Just Have a Lot of Feelings. It's called A Phone I Can't Use.
So these songs would write themselves. Instead, I cut them up like animations and try to rearrange the cells. I wish I never wrote that song. It always felt like trying too hard. thought fucked you in the dark. Now how would it feel if I told you the truth about it all? That you're the only one I accidentally call. I always love the ones who treat me badly. Always hurt the ones who treat me well. So when you told me you were flaky, well, I think that's when I fell. The only people on the road this time of night are the bin men and the taxi drivers. But the glow on my phone will be my light. I'm grateful for our text all-nighters. Now I'm staying up, staring at a phone I can't use with bloodshot eyes. I'm still waiting for you to reply. Focus, my legs keep falling asleep. I keep thinking my hands have turned into spiders, and my heart skips another beat. I'm not sure if you were talking about my weight or my personality when you said that was not much to. Oh, but darling, I'm done with the formalities. Why don't you come over and say right through me? 'Cause I would scoop the marrow from my bones with a silver spoon just to have a little company. Is that too soon?
That's beautiful. Thank you. I really love that song.
Thanks.
It's the video. Who came up with the concept of the muffin making?
That was me.
Well, it wasn't a muffin. It's a cake, isn't it? Yeah,
I had this idea that I was going to, like, bake a cake for all my friends because it's a Mean Girls reference. EP title is like that scene in Mean Girls where she's like, I wish I could bake a cake out of rainbows and smiles and we would all eat a piece and be happy. And he's like, she doesn't even go here. No, I just have a lot of feelings. I relate to that. And so that was me attempting to bake the cake full of rainbows and smiles, and I thought we'd just like get a bunch of friends over and do that. It just ended up like going real south real quick, but it was funny, which was great.
That's great because I really like it. It's just like, oh, it's just not the norm. Do you know what I mean? It's so refreshing, and you can't get more DIY, but
It was fun. Like, it was just, I invited a bunch of friends over. When we got the EP masters back, I just invited a bunch of friends over and was like, come around, listen to my record. I'll bake you a cake. I can't promise it'll be any good, but I'll try.
How long did it take to film?
Like a couple of hours. It didn't take that long.
Oh, really?
It was really quick.
Oh, okay.
It probably That's took cool. about 2 or 3 hours tops.
Excellent.
Did you want me to do another one or is that fine?
Can you do one more?
Yeah.
Would that be all right?
Of course.
Thanks.
I'll do a new one.
Oh, cool.
One that has not been released yet.
Right. What's this one?
So this one is called Smiling Song.
And it was strange going back to the place that I almost died. And I wish that you were there with me. I know I've said it several times. Just don't know how to explain how I feel to you. But the lights over Adelaide look beautiful, and it made me think of you. Now I don't want to fuck you in the dark anymore. I just want to hang out in my parents' house until 4 in the morning. Don't wanna fuck you, I just miss you and I love you, and I know that it's been said before. But if you ever need a place to stay after work, just end up at my door. And if I'm smiling when I kiss you, I'm sorry if I pull away. I just get so damn excited thinking you might be here to stay. Pointed it out to me once and now I'm too nervous to smile. But you make me less self-conscious, yeah, you make me feel worthwhile. And it was strange telling you about the space that I was in. Don't think you knew what to say, so you didn't say anything. I just wanna go to shows with you and feel your arm around my waist. Because I've loved you since I met you, and I still can't say it to your face. Now I'm counting down the days till I see you next, hoping that you stay in my place so we can watch High School Musical 2 in bed. And when you kiss me in front of your friends, it makes me feel less small. So if you ever need a place to stay after shows, well, you know who to call. And if I'm smiling when I kiss you, I'm sorry if my explanation don't make sense. I just get so damn excited when you kiss me in front of your friends. You pointed it out to me once and now I'm too nervous to smile. But you make me less self-conscious, yeah, you make me feel worthwhile. So I'll go ahead and
wow, that is so excellent. And very personal, I take it.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't do anything else.
Very personal. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Yeah, yeah, that's gorgeous. When will that one be out? Are you going to perform it this weekend?
I will be performing it this weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll probably be recording it, hopefully, so that it'll be out at the start of next year.
Okay.
There are some plans in the works to get back in the studio and do a couple more tracks. So
yeah, it's important to keep up with your own work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of wrangling you do and organizing and management, but your own stuff should not suffer.
Yeah.
Needs that air time. And I want to thank you so much, RMC, Rachel Maria Cox, for coming in and speaking to us on Broad.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to be here.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful music and looking forward to the weekend. We need more. Certainly need more sad girls. There's plenty of sad girls out there. They just
need to start bands.
That's it. And they need to get in touch with you. Actually, how can people do that?
So the best way to do it is to email manager@sadgirlsclub.com.
Okay, cool.
And I get all of that directly. And, yeah, if you've got a band and you've got demos and you've got recordings, and even if you don't, like, and it's just done on your iPhone in your bedroom, like,
yeah.
Send it to me. I want to hear it. Like, I want to start doing some more stuff in Melbourne, especially because I think that it's a really good live music culture for that here.
Yeah,
so
it's time. Yeah.
Get in touch with me.
Cool. And also there's the, of course, you've got Facebook, you've got the sadgirlsclub.com website. Check that out.
We've got Twitter, we've got Instagram.
It's on the social medias.
Not Google Plus, but I don't know what Google Plus is.
Does anyone use it? I've got it too, and I don't know what to do with it. I saw these faces in a circle. I don't know what to do. I gave up.
That's
pretty
me
much
in social situations, so.
Keep making the cakes.
Yep.
And the beautiful music.
Thank you
so much. This is Sonia on Broad Joy 94.9.
I have such admiration for Black Lives Matter. Diaz Eliza Garza, she's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is a movement that started by two queer women of color that has, like, shaken the political establishment of America, that has forced, like, presidential candidates, forced the president to address it, that has deeply challenged, you know, really many institutions of white supremacy there, and that spread around the world. Yeah, I have such admiration. When Ferguson first happened, I have to admit, I was looking at it and I was like, man, it felt like Occupy was children's dress rehearsal compared to what people are doing here and what people are risking here.
Feminism, and does that play a part in what you do?
I mean, obviously I'm a feminist. I tend to subscribe to the Gloria Steinem definition, which is that it's the revolutionary idea that women are equal human beings. How that plays out with my relationship to other people who identify as feminists, that's a different thing, of course. You know, there's a huge amount of disagreement and debate. But for me, my feminism comes from the belief that no one should be restricted, no one should be marginalized, no one should be trivialized, no one should be made simple, no one should be locked in a cage or even put up on a pedestal because they're a woman, because we're humans, and humans have the right to equality and freedom, and also humans exhibit the full diversity, good and bad, of characteristics, men and women. And I would say that you should never let anyone, not a lover, not a husband, not a parent, not a sibling, you should never let anyone steal from you the sense of your own value and your own dignity. And I should also say that the most valuable thing we have, one of them, is a community that loves us and that nourishes us and that has our back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.